Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
I'm joined in the studio now by the home rescue stars, Pete the Builder and interior designer Deirdre Coleman. You're both very welcome. And remember the last time we had you in when the show was starting on RTE, we were inundated with questions. So we wanted to get you back in. Pete, thanks for changing. He's in his work gear. He got the utility trousers on. You're covered in paint and plaster. That's what we want, though.
You asked for Pete the Builder, you got Pete the Builder.
We did.
I'm told he washed his hands, though.
I did. Good. I washed my hands.
Great. Delighted to hear it. Listen, I have so many questions for you, but I assume most people now, Pete, are looking at this time of the year when it's getting colder, make the house warmer for me, and they're about 6 months too late.
Yeah, like so the way I describe this is the only time genuinely when people actually think about the fabric of their house. Normally it's the aesthetic. Normally it's I want to get an extension, I want to get, you know, a new kitchen, I want to do up the bathroom. But guess what happens? We are humans and we've got senses, and the senses around this time of year are going, oh, it's getting a bit cold, it's a bit drafty. So then they start thinking about the fabric of their building. So that's a great thing to do, but you're probably a little bit late. If you can think about it, get your boiler service now as quickly as you can, because as soon as the temperature drops, every plumber in the country is out the door. Get insulation in your attic. There's so many grants out there. I say this all the time. We do the jobs around the country. I get up into the attic and I can't believe it. There's not even a millimetre of insulation in some attics. There's grants out there from the SEAI. You should really be thinking about the fabric of building at all times. But coming into winter and autumn season is when people actually physically do start thinking about it.
And then there's no money left, Dee, for you for a cushion cover.
About time, because she gets all of the money all of the time.
But there are, but we can come to the rescue. It's too late to get a builder in, but it's not too late to actually create a home that you want to be in. I mean, in the summertime, we're running around. We can ignore the things that we've been ignoring. We can ignore the fact that the walls are a bit scruffy or that things just aren't the way we'd want them to be. There's not enough storage for the golf club. Or the hurls or the helmets. But when people start retreating into their homes in September, that's when we get all the calls as well. So much like the builders, we're hugely in demand. There are things you can do yourself, though. There's three main ways to look at it. First is lighting. And lighting doesn't have to be expensive. We have in an airport or in a studio, we have overhead lights, and that's fine. That's a very strong task light. But in residential lighting, we need to have task light, and then we need ambient lighting, and it needs to be in pools. And it doesn't have to be expensive. So one great trick, and it hits the biophilic thing as well, so bringing nature in, is to have a plant on the floor and put a cheap lamp from anywhere on the ground underneath it, and you get this beautiful wash of light on the ceiling. So that alone, if you just had that and the telly or a book, you're creating this lovely warm cocoon feeling. So the other thing that
and
you can
do, see the dust as well, which I think is a great
that's
advantage.
That's a huge bonus. Huge spring bonus. Is quite upsetting to me at the, yeah. at the end of the winter.
How did that happen?
The windows are always filthy. But the other thing about lighting is to make sure that all of your bulbs are the same colour. So you want to have a warm white. And there's multiple types of warm white. You have to look at a thing on the bulb called the Kelvin, which is the measure of the colour temperature. So you've got 2,700 or 3,000, they're warm. I like 2,700. It's a bit closer to candlelight. Go round now, change all the bulbs in your house to 2,700 Kelvin, and you will not believe the difference. So many people are dealing with cold white light, which is fine if you want to live in a dentist's surgery. But if you want those pools of warm, cozy, cocooning light, 2,700 Kelvin is where you want to go. And then finally, paint. If you have a small room, don't try and make it light and bright. Go for it. Do colour drenching. Take a dark plum or a dark colour. Paint the ceilings. Paint the walls. Accept the fact that this is now your nest.
Yeah, so if a room wants to be dark, should you just not fight that?
Absolutely. I'm a big believer in working with the house that you have. And if a room is small and dark and cosy and you're going to use it at night, that's the big difference here. If you're going to use it in the daytime, it would just be depressing to be in a space that's not bouncing any light. And I would say use all the tricks. Use the mirror. Use the light, use everything. But if a room is small and cozy and you're going to be reading in it, you're going to be looking at your Netflix or whatever, embrace the fact that it's warm and cozy and don't try and hide it. Put one big piece of furniture in it, put one coffee table, get the dark moody lights, get the greenery in to break it and create that sense of movement.
I have a paint question for you from Catherine. So Catherine has just had the kitchen units painted vert de terre, which is a light green shade.
I know it.
Do you know the shade?
I do. Great. It's lovely.
Oh, I know it well.
Can you don't care about paint colours, I know that. Can Dee recommend a wall colour, please? The kitchen is west facing. Challenge D.
West facing. So that's a nice warm space. So there's two colours that could work for that, and you really need to hold them up and paint them on all the walls, because the same colour can look significantly different on different walls. I would go for either a Cornforth white or a skimming stone. The skimming stone is slightly warmer and the Cornforth slightly cooler, and it depends on the accessories in the space. So if you want it to feel that little bit cooler because you want to bring in pinks and reds, which really will complement that green tone, I would go for the Cornforth white. But if you want a more neutral palette, I would go for the skimming stone.
One thing I'd add there, Claire, as well, that often on the show, Dee will paint the room a certain colour and I'll be like, oh, this is a bit blue. There's a lot of blue going on in here or something like that. But then when you dress the room, suddenly the colour makes sense.
Yeah, it's about balance.
Yeah, it is. And don't be afraid to go a bit bold, because I always was. I used to be like, oh, keep it neutral. But then, you know, when someone gives you advice like what Dee is giving you, you'd be surprised.
I know, you have you need to know all of those tricks. I'm nervous
about it. But not to be afraid of it there, because it's just paint.
Yeah.
It is just paint. And you can change it yourself.
Yeah. Listen, a question for you now, Pete. This listener has purchased a small bungalow. It's 1,000 square foot. They need some extra space. The roof is low, so they need to raise the roof or build an extension for some extra room. They're just looking for about 50 metres squared of extra space. What roughly would be the cost of both options? Raise the roof for the attic or the ground floor extension? Well, which would be better value, I suppose?
God, such an easy question to answer in about 25 seconds.
I know, having not seen the house.
Yeah, no, so like, just being totally honest, first of all, if they go for 50 square metres, they're going to have to go for planning permission. If they keep it under 40 square metres and single storey, they do not have to go for planning. It's planning exempt. So that's a good start. Planning will cost you more money. Obviously, you'll get a bit more space. Ceiling height is only necessary unless you really need it. So raising the roof, unless you're going to, you know, suddenly turn it into a dormer bungalow, I don't really see the advantage in raising the roof unless there's a significant reason for that. Skylights will get the light in, all of that type of stuff. Costs for construction are bananas at the moment, unfortunately, and they do fluctuate. But if you're going to be realistic about it, you want to be allowing about 3,000 euros a square metre. Now, that's for a finished product. Mm-hmm. You can get it done a little bit cheaper, but again, that won't include your finishes. And again, it depends on the finishes. You can put in very simple, cost-effective finishes, or you can go crazy and spend
And that'll change money. The price significantly. And then you have to find somebody who's available to do it.
Yeah, just one thing on raising the roof. If you are thinking about selling the house, because one of the reasons you have to always ask why are they doing this? Is it a long-term investment or are they going to sell it? And if they're going to sell it, you can't include you can't count a space as a room if it doesn't have a ceiling height of 2.4 metres.
Okay.
So you could invest in it but not get the value.
And also, when you're doing work, make sure you invest in the building by insulating it up to the current regs. Take advantage of your grants, because again, you can take advantage of the grants while you're doing work.
Now, is it okay to start building a kitchen extension in December, says this listener, or should you wait until the summer?
We live in a beautiful country called Ireland that rains no matter what day or time of the year it is. So, there's no doubt about it. If you're doing a huge amount of excavation, if you're doing a kind of lot of dirty work, you know, try and maybe wait till the summertime. But look, you know, builders work, unfortunately, all the year round. So, you know, there's never a bad time to start construction, to be totally honest with you. So I would not say, don't be holding off on doing the work.
Because you could get unlucky in the summer as well.
Santa Claus is coming as well, so you want to be careful. You don't want to start before Christmas thinking you're going to be finished, you know, for Christmas as well. So that kind of, I would more say, think about your life and think about your kids in school and all of that type of stuff rather than the weather.
The weather. Okay, now, I don't know who wants to take this. This is a good one for both of you, maybe. I'd love to do some panelling in my home, and I've looked at the panelling kits in hardware stores. I'm wondering, are they easy to do? Are they user-friendly? Panelling is just very expensive to get done professionally.
It is expensive to get done professionally. It is something where you get a big bang for your buck, though. So if you are looking to spend money in your home, particularly if you just do it in the hallway, it's very impactful. I'd say there's two different types of panelling. You've got your traditional wainscoting, where you have sheeting material on the wall and then you've got beading on top of that. That's phenomenally expensive. If you're worried about budget, I wouldn't go there. If you have a new house, if it's a house that's got good walls, you can actually do a bit of a cheat and just use panels on the wall. Sorry, what I mean is beading on the wall. Yeah. Pin that on or Tech 7 it on and paint it out with the wall. that's something that anyone could do. That's easy. It's cost effective and will be very
impactful. I'm afraid.
No, don't be afraid. Honestly, the God's honest truth, paneling is a great one to try for a DIY project.
It
really is. And again, as Dee said, like, first of all, it's non-structural, so you can't knock the house down or cause any damage.
Good place to start there. Yeah.
Yeah, and but start in a discreet corner as well. And like, you know, don't be afraid. Like, buy too many materials than you need and make a mess of it and then redo it, you know? Yeah. Like, genuinely, like, people worry about so many things. We're all worried about American politics and all these types of things. The thing that will affect your life the most is
your home.
Do your house up. Learn some DIY. Have something that affects your life every day. And think about that and put a bit of time and effort into that.
And you'll
actually get proficient and you'll be able to do something really nice.
And satisfied, you know?
And just something on that. So it very much depends on the house. If it's not a Victorian house, please don't use big old fat Victorian OG beading. It'll look wrong. Use something like a D bead. You can get them by the meter in any hardware store. It's cheap as chips. Just do it.
It's your house. Do what you want.
Dee, what would you suggest for a long, dark hallway? It's a 70s bungalow in terms of design, where a building renovation is not an option.
Okay, well, there's so much that you can do with paint. I don't know the ceiling heights. I don't know the width. But certainly,
we know it's long and dark.
Long and
dark. And it's a bungalow.
Well, actually, we did something on that you'll see on Home Rescue tonight, which really worked for a corridor that was long and dark with high ceilings. And I actually painted, it was very controversial. The builders and Pete looked at me like I was bonkers. But I painted the ceiling and just down past the top of the architraves of the door in a sunshine yellow.
Banana.
Now, it sounds, but I can see Claire's looking at me like,
no, I'm looking at Pete's face.
Go on,
and what it did was it went from a hallway that was painted white in order to bounce the light, but felt nothing but gloomy. And it literally, we then got two light fittings at ceiling height, which then is bouncing this gorgeous warm yellow down into the space. I would say paint is your friend. So either do something like that or do like a dado line at about 1.1 metres, put a bit of masking tape, paint a different colour below than above. And if you can, if your budget would allow it, maybe a couple of directional picture lights to pick out at darkness so that you've got images, you've got artwork that's lit on its own without accentuating the length of the corridor.
We all need your eye. Was it lovely, Pete?
When it started off, it looked, I was going, oh my God, I can't believe that we're going to let this go on television because the colour of it and everything, you know. And I was going, I think I said it several times. Now, you told me to do this, so I'm doing it. But genuinely, again, like what I said earlier, when it was finished and when everything was fitted out and exactly what Dee's talking about, the light bouncing, it's when you stop and stand and stare at something, it looks different to when you're actually just living with it, you know. So again, she's right. She's
the question to ask yourself whenever you're tackling a hallway or any room is, what is it you're trying to fix? So in this case, I was trying to fix a lack of natural light. This person sounds like they're trying to fix a sort of a gloomy, long space. So to create points of interest and light them along the way. So ask yourself, why? Why do I need to do this? And then the answer will often come to you.
But also in those long, gloomy areas, sometimes people have carpet. Carpet will absorb light. Something like more reflective, like, you know, a floor, like a timber floor will actually reflect the light a little bit further. Try and have stuff.
He's learning, Dee. He's learning from
you. Isn't he? Yeah. He's not quite right, but we'll let him away with it.
I am actually fully right.
This listener has recently moved into a new build home and there's no hallway. I didn't realise how much it bothered me until I was trying to relax in the evening in the living room. So now they're considering creating a hallway or an entranceway with wooden slats separating the two areas. So I presume between the kitchen, right, and the living room, but with gaps between each wooden slat to let the light through.
In. Yeah.
What do you think of that idea?
I think it's a great idea. I think you need to think about your furniture in a big way on this. So sometimes like a big L-shaped couch, which I don't always love, but in this case could create a very strong physical barrier. So you've got your back to the hallway. And then those lovely vertical lines are great if you have enough storage. But often if you haven't got a hallway, you don't have enough storage. So it might be worth considering getting like the flat pack Calyx units, which have storage in them, but let the light through as well. So you've got a physical barrier, but you've also got some form of storage.
So they're on the right track.
They're on the right track. Yeah, but think about the furniture and don't have lots of little bits of furniture. You need the furniture to create a physical and visual block to create the two zones.
That's that open plan new type of living that sometimes comes as a new home, which is, again, it's trying to maximise the square footage, but what they're, you know, exactly as Dee said there, they're creating a zone with absolutely no storage in it and everything is very visible. So again, the one element that I could say is there that if it's open space, it means that you don't need to put anything structural in. So if you're putting in a wall, it can be, you know, a partition.
Okay. And it doesn't have to be full height.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be full, yeah.
Pete, this one is for you from Margaret. Margaret is getting external insulation done at the moment. The house was dry lined with internal insulation, but about 20 years ago. Should I take out the dry lining or is it okay to leave it there?
How are you, Margaret? Yeah, look, it is okay to leave it there, but the old insulation, 20 years old, is most likely the expanded polystyrene, which is the white kind of bubbly one,
yeah,
which is very ineffective, to be totally honest with you. You need the kind of more modern extruded polystyrenes, which are much higher efficiency in terms of thermal. If you're getting the external wrap done, it's an absolutely excellent way of insulating your home. It's really, really cozy and it doesn't affect any of the interiors. If she's going to tear down the dry lining that's on the inside, it does mean a complete sort of
replaster
and refit to the internal. Now, it does give you advantages where maybe you can put in extra sockets and do stuff like that as well. But to answer the question, does she have to do it? No, she doesn't. But it is definitely an option. And she's probably not, if she's getting an external wrap done, that's enough. That's actually really going to massively improve the insulation of the home.
That works well, does it? The external wrap.
Absolutely
because
does.
Because people see it as being fairly disruptive to get that done. But
no, it's not disruptive
at
all.
It's less disruptive than inside. Mm-hmm. If you get the inside done and you think about it, it's every wall inside. It's all of the reveals for the windows. It's the skirting. It's the cornicing, if you have it. All of that has to come off.
Bathroom, stairs.
Yeah, everything.
It's much easier to wrap the outside of the house in terms of the, you know, disrupting the interior. And again, there's grants available, significant grants, in fact, actually for external wall insulation.
And it's more effective.
Oh, it's massively effective. It really, really does work.
Advice on paint peeling off the outside of a house. Someone mentioned using a fungicide, but how do we clear the existing paint that's only coming off from some parts of the wall?
So
they've already repainted it once.
Yeah, so basically what's after happening there is that the wall got painted too quickly and didn't allow the plaster to dry out. So when the plaster, because like sand and cement and concrete is constantly drying, it needs a certain amount of time before you can cover it up or you don't allow the moisture to come out. So what's happened there is the wall got painted too quickly, and you see it on the chimneys an awful lot as well, because the chimneys get saturated. They're usually the last thing that gets painted, and people paint them when they're not fully dried, and therefore the moisture comes out and it lifts the paint that's on it. The only thing they can do is remove as much as they possibly can. The fungicide will only remove any kind of like small moss or any kind of green grime that's on it, but it's not really going to be the answer. You have to wait till there's a dry period of time, ideally about 3 or 4 days, and let it really dry out, and then sand down what's there to get it back as sort of a clean and smooth as you can, and then paint it and give it a couple of layers of paint as well. Make sure you use an exterior grade paint, and there's loads of them out there.
Okay, great advice there on that one. Now we're going to build a DIY office, Dee.
Very good.
What's the best option for this? We've a new build, we've a nice size office, but it turns into a dumping ground, so I just work in the kitchen, says this listener. I think a darker colour because it doesn't get the sun, but we need bookshelves, etc. Have you any advice on how to make it a welcoming place to work? And this person works from home 4 days a week, so this is going to be used.
Okay, so it's hard to know in terms of if they have storage requirements. So for me, I need a lot of storage because I've got a lot of sample books. I think the key, though, particularly if you're not naturally a tidy person, and we'd all aspire to it, but very few of us actually are, is to have closed storage. Like when you have open shelves, you have to curate them. And then if you don't like what you see, you close the door on it. So I would suggest you could even just use wardrobes or kitchen units, flat pack, and they've got great doors on them. If you go to the likes, there's online companies like Superfront or whatever, where you can get actually bespoke doors to fit your standard carcasses. I would suggest drawing out the space. Don't get a 600 deep unit, get a 400 deep unit, because that allows you to have one deep of books. I would also say to think about your Zoom calls and to think about your view behind your head. So perhaps where your camera is pointing, have a nice piece of art on the wall, have that bit orderly and not just full of stuff, because that's when you wind up in your kitchen because your view of your cabinets is better. As to, in terms of colour, it's very much personal choice. Depends on whether you want to bounce the light. I think you can make either work. I personally like dark units for an office because I think it hides the scuffs and the dints and the bumps that you inevitably get from heavily used space. But I'd need to see the space, but I think dark is lovely if you don't need the light.
Now, Home Rescue The Big Fix is the last episode going out tonight at 9:35 on RTE2, but I did notice when I was looking at the RTE player on my telly that's doing very well on there as well.
Oh,
and you can get all of the episodes on the RTE player, so well worth a look. And given the response that we've had this morning to having the two of you in, I'm sure there'll be lots of people tuning in tonight.
Are we done? Is that it?
We're done. You're through it all. We didn't get through all of the questions and they're still flying in. It's amazing how interested people are in home renovations and interior design and all of the rest.
Well, it's our biggest asset and we spend so much time there, particularly this time of year.
Yeah. Tonight is actually an apartment as well. It's a very interesting one as well. We're watching because apartment builds and let's say a standard two-story house are completely different.
Yeah.
As you'll see tonight. Poor Pete the builder had to run up and down the stairs
poor
300
Pete.
Times.
Poor old humble Pete.
Dee and Pete, thanks so much for coming in. Great to have you with us. Now we're going
Claire.
Have two historians with us after the break. A treat. Stay with us.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.